This is KBBI Homer AM 890. The time is 9:01 a.m. And it's time for the regular Thursday COVID brief. I have Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital. Dorotha, do you read me?
I read you. Good morning.
Good morning. And Jenny Carroll from the City of Homer.
Good morning, Kathleen.
Good morning to you. Peggy Erkineff should be calling in about 15 minutes, so we'll get to hear from Kenai Peninsula Borough School District. And we might hear from Nurse Erin Wahlbecker from the Homer Public Health Center. It's hard. Their schedules are tight. I know everybody's schedule is tight, so let's get right to it. I'd like to begin today with Jenny Carroll from the city. And Jenny, there's a new round of ESBIRG funding coming out. Is that right?
Well, it's already out. You're absolutely right. We have round two of our small business relief grants that are funded through Federal CARES Act dollars. The applications became available on Monday, and the deadline is Sunday, November 1st by 5 p.m. So I want to give everybody a heads up. This is a two-week application period, so I encourage you to pick up an application either at City Hall in paper form. You can go down by the clerk's office. There's a cabinet outdoors, and it'll have a, when you open it up, there's a little green label on one of the shelves that will say ESBIRG 2, and the application materials are there. Or you can go to the City of Homer website and download the materials there. There's a link on our main page for the Small Business Economic Relief Grant Program. You can also very conveniently apply online and not do any of the paper forms at all. So basically, this is a continuation of the ESBIRG 1 program that ran for several weeks, except that this program allows for first-time applicants to come in at kind of the standard grant level that was available in round one, or if businesses would like to provide documentation of their gross revenue loss in 2020 compared to 2019, then awards can be greater than the standard award based on eligible expenses up to $50,000. So I encourage businesses to look into this opportunity. We want our economy and our local business environment to be strong going into the winter and being prepared for next year. And this is an opportunity for businesses to be able to do this. I also wanted to point out that there are other nonprofit economic or other economic relief programs coming out from the city on next Monday, October 26th. We're projecting to be opening up round two of the nonprofit economic relief grant program, based pretty much on the same premise as the ESBIRG 2. It'll be, awards will be given based on loss of revenues in 2020, but it all has to go towards eligible expenses. There's a couple other programs coming forward through council. They will be hopefully providing final approval for these programs at Monday, the October 26th council meeting. That will be for commercial fishermen and a mortgage relief program that we will be sponsoring through AHFC. So please keep your eyes open, listen to the radio, go visit the city's website. There'll be announcements in the newspaper when these programs roll out. So we're trying to help keep the community thriving and safe through this ongoing pandemic, and the CARES Act is one avenue for financial security for those who are struggling.
So that means that the city council members are still taking input from, they had called for input from fishermen the last time around, the last meeting, until Monday?
We spoke about that the last COVID update we did with you, and we did get a lot of feedback from industry leaders and fishermen and the FERG program, as we call it. They all have cute little acronyms. The Fisherman's Economic Relief Grant Program has changed a little bit since it was first introduced, and Council will be deliberating that on Monday.
Okay, great. So is there is still time for input on the mortgage relief and the fishermen's?
Yes, there is.
Okay.
There'll be a public hearing at the next meeting.
Great. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to know, so that kind of covers every open application period right now and the stuff that it's about to come forward.
Right. We just have one open now, which is the SBIRG 2, the Small Business Relief Grant Program Round 2. But on Monday, we will be launching the nonprofit Round 2. And then rolling out from there will be the mortgage relief and the fishermen's, if those get passed at Monday's meeting.
Okay. Thanks, Jenny Carroll. And is there anything else on the list for you today in terms of city business? Because then we're going to start talking COVID cases. But I want to
I want to encourage everyone to come out and absentee vote if you would like to do that in person at City Hall for the general election that opened on Tuesday, October 20th, in the Coles Chamber. Registered voters in District 31 can absentee vote until November 2nd, Monday through Friday, regular business hours. We will ask everyone to mask up and maintain distance. We have masks for those who don't, just to kind of keep the COVID lid on COVID as best we can. So that's one of the pieces of news. And the other piece I would like to add is not necessarily city business. It's a little related to COVID, but I want to direct people to a great blog site for families who are having questions about how to creatively approach Halloween this year in the time of COVID. And the state DHSS website has a great blog about how to do Halloween. And if you go to dhss.alaska.gov, you can search for Play Every Day. And there's an article there about celebrating the holidays during a pandemic, and gives families creative ideas of ways to think through a different tradition this year than perhaps door-to-door trick-or-treating and how to do it safely.
I've seen some terrific mock-ups of build-ups of ways to deliver candy, candy chutes. I've seen a zip line. I wonder if are drones allowed to fly in the city? Because I did hear someone say they wanted to deliver candy to the street via drone.
I don't know our drone policy, but I can certainly get back to you on that.
And the other thing that's on the city website right now, it's a good transition to bring Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital into the conversation, is that this coming Tuesday, October 27th, from 4 to 7 p.m., it's free flu shots at Homer United Methodist Church. And it's for adults only. And shots will be administered in the parking lot under lovely pop-up tents. So that's the free flu shot that's coming on. And Dorotha, can you talk for just a minute about why it's important to get your flu shot?
Well, it helps keep your overall system healthy, which then allows you to be prepared to battle off other illness or virus. That's kind of the goal right now. But having nothing to do with COVID, it's always good practice to get the flu shot, because if you don't need to weaken your immune system unnecessarily, that's always good. I'm going to apply that a little bit to hospitalization rates in general, Kathleen.
Great.
Flu is here. It's in Homer, it's in Alaska, and it is starting to spread nationwide. And hospitalization rates in the state are pretty high, not unusually high, but it's pretty common in the fall for hospitalization rates in Alaska to be trending upwards. So like right now, if you go on to the state's website and just look at the statewide hospitalization, statewide there's 645 people in normal beds, 100 and ICU. So what? How many of those are COVID? Well, only 41 of those are COVID. What does that say? Wow, there's a lot of other things going on. And that might be flu, that might be other illness, that might be post-surgery. You know, during March and April, there was really not much going on in the world of healthcare, and people delayed things. Even once we did open up, a lot of healthcare was delayed, and we've started picking up the pace over the summer on tending to the healthcare needs. So whether it's from post-surgery, catch up from the shutdown, whether it's because of indoor transmission of other illness and virus, end of year procedures because of deductibles and annual offerings. There's lots of different reasons, but the bottom line is hospitalizations are active, and we see that here at our hospital. Last 2 weeks, we've been very busy as well.
I know numbers on the Central Peninsula just went way up. I'm looking at the KPBSD site, the overview by case and incidence rate site.
Yes, so cases we've seen, as far as on the Southern Peninsula, we've had 15 COVID cases over the last week. And as far as testing at the hospital goes, we've had 11 positive tests in the last week. And that is out of 713 tests in the last week. So that puts us at a positive, that puts the South Peninsula Hospital's testing pool, that puts us at a 1.5% positivity rate. Now, how does that compare, 1.5% positivity rate? So our statewide positivity rate is trending at about 4.5 to 5% right now. I think 4.6%, Dr. Zink said last night. And how does that compare to regions throughout the state? Anchorage and the Kenai Peninsula overall, they're each at about 5%. Matsu's at 7%. Fairbanks is at 7%. So the Southern Peninsula, looking at the hospital's percentage, the hospital testing percentage rate is at 1.5. And we're not the only ones doing testing. SVT, Nanilchik, even some of the other clinics now are doing testing. So we're certainly not the only testing site in town.
Dorotha, we just had a caller call in and leave a question, which is the flu shot available to those over 65? So there are senior doses, right, for the flu shot?
There are, and they are kind of more powerful is a way to say it. They are extra powerful for building, helping with immunity. And so they're specifically for an individual who might have a weaker immunity. So the event on the 27th, that will have a limited supply of senior doses, what are called senior doses, that will have a limited supply. I think we have 30, we have 200 total, and 30 of those are senior dose. It is at a first-come, first-served basis, though. I did not check this morning, so I'm going out on a limb here, but I know last week Safeway did still have senior doses. Yeah.
Thank you. And if anybody has any questions, you can email them to info@kbbi.org, or you can call 235-7721. And Matt is standing by to take your call. You can either go to air, or you can leave the question and he'll send it in to the studio. Dorotha, we've had more positive identified cases in the Southern Peninsula in the last week than we had for, I think I counted, something like the last 5 weeks, maybe even six.
Yeah, we were sure on a trend there, Kathleen, and that was really great. I'm just so happy that our, you know, overall community was able to enjoy summer safely. And I don't think it's a surprise, really, that our numbers are starting to expand because of the all of the indoor activity. You know, it's kind of proven to spread in close contacts and close environments. So it doesn't really surprise anybody, but we do have the power to try to limit it. And we know that by keeping our distance and wearing a mask and practicing good hygiene and staying out of group settings, that that's definitely a way to help limit the spread. I did want to mention about testing, because testing is a fast, it should be a fast way to help prevent the spread, to help with mitigation, because the more you know, the more you know, the you have the power then. And the hospital is happy to still be able to test people 7 days a week, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. at our testing site on Bartlett Street. However, if we have the time, I'd like to quickly go through the criteria, because there's been some confusion on criteria for testing. And we basically, like globally, we kind of test everybody except the worried well. So the list is anybody with a COVID-like symptom, which is cough, fatigue, fever, chills, difficulty breathing, headache, muscle, joint aches, nausea, rash, diarrhea, decreased sense of smell or taste, runny nose, sore throat, phlegm production. I mean, any symptom will test you. Anybody with known close contact to a confirmed positive, as recommended by public health guidelines, which are currently at 5 to 14 days after exposure. And close contact is that you've been within a close distance, like 6 feet, for at least 15 total minutes. So just because you saw or visited briefly with a person who ended up being a confirmed positive, that does not mean you are a close contact. Close contact is within 6 feet for a total of 15 minutes or longer during that person's infectious period.
So Dorotha, mm-hmm. I have a caller on the line, and I think Peggy Erkineff is on now. I want to come back to you, but I want to get to that caller. Can you stand by?
You bet.
Eddie, are you there?
Yes, good morning.
Go ahead.
Mayor Castor brought this issue up at a recent city council meeting in terms of the timeline for getting results back from COVID testing so that people in the Homer area are up to speed on what's going on. And I wanted to ask the panel, and then I would like to give a response, if they could please break down the transportation chain of how the tests are administered in Homer. I'm assuming they are then sent up to Anchorage. I'd like to know that procedure.
Well, you don't have to assume right now, because we've got the person who can tell you that. Dorotha, can you talk? We've discussed this chain before, and then we'll get right back to you, Eddie. Dorotha, can you talk about that?
Yes, and it's a new schedule. So, Eddie, thanks for bringing that up. So we drive the test results. They are driven, not results, sorry. We drive the swabs to Anchorage daily. The courier picks them up, and we're going to say generally at 2. That's what time the courier picks up. So that means that anyone tested really by 1, their swab gets in the pot to go to Anchorage. It leaves here at 2. It gets up to Anchorage by, you know, around 6 o'clock, given the day. And then they get in line with the state lab for the following morning. They are delivered to the state lab that night, and they're in line for the next day. So what that means is that if you test at our station at, let's say, 5, your swab does not reach the state lab until the following night, which means you're in line that next day. So you test here tonight, Thursday night. It gets up there Friday night, and now it's not in line until Saturday morning. That's when their clock starts. So if they're advertising, if the state is telling you, hey, our turnaround time is 2.7 days or 3 days, that starts ticking when they put their hands on your swab. Like, that does not start ticking when you come to our test site. So what we are telling people is they can expect 4 to 5 day turnaround right now. I am very sorry for that. We do not have reliable flight transportation on a daily basis right now that can get the swabs end of day to the state laboratory. So until Raven starts flying, and we don't yet know their schedule to see how it's going to align, that's what we can offer. Just to we really wanted to keep people driving at a reasonable time throughout the winter, and that is the schedule that we have.
And Eddie, are you still there? Did that answer your question?
Yes. Yes. And then I'll bring up something, and then I'm curious to know, after I'm done, how do we get the results back? Are they also over the phone, over an email, et cetera? But apart from that, yes, Raven is a factor, or whoever else wants to come fly us out of here. But I want to strongly suggest, if nothing else, to get us in the line a little sooner once we get to Anchorage. and with winter coming even quicker, why doesn't the local authorities drive these swabs to Kenai, where Grant Aviation is flying 7, 8, 9, 10, 12 times a day into Anchorage, and then arrange for the courier or whatever service to pick up the swabs in Anchorage? We're talking about saving possibly 4 to 5 hours, depending on road construction and weather conditions, by flying them to Kenai.
So I want to bring Jenny Carroll back into this. I think that question may be for you. Jenny, are you there?
The city does not handle or manage the couriering of tests. We do operate the airport terminal here, and with that nexus to this conversation, the city has engaged in a contract with the New Raven to begin operations, and they are working on doing that at present. So I hope that would be coming online soon. The city has cleared the way for that to happen, and so that we hope that would be able to speed up that chain a bit than either driving it to Kenai or all the way to Anchorage.
And Dorotha, do you have a short answer for why you don't drive to Kenai? Because I really need to bring Peggy Yerkineff into this. Do you have a short answer for why?
We had a whole team come together about 6 weeks ago. They evaluated all options, and that was one of the ones they evaluated. And the best scenario that was reliable and worked for the requirements of the test swabs and the state lab was the one that we're using.
Okay, thanks for the call, Eddie.
And how do we get the results back, briefly? So they've done over the phone, email, or once they're done in Anchorage, how do you receive them?
You are sent an email link. So it's super important that you spend time giving an accurate email address at time of testing. You are sent a link, and that link takes you to the portal, and your results are on the portal. However, we have a portal hotline phone number. It's staffed daily, and you can call that hotline. It's right in the packet that you're given at time of testing, that phone number is.
All right. Thank you so much for your help.
Thanks, Eddie.
You betcha.
And Peggy Yerkineff from Kenai Peninsula Borough School District. Good morning, and I'm sorry to leave you hanging there.
Oh, it was okay. Good conversation, and I'm listening, so that's good.
For KPBSD's website says only the villages and the small communities are doing in-person schooling right now. We've had lots of COVID cases and people having to. Most everybody is schooling at home right now, and I wanted to ask about the daily food program and about cases within the schools and in school transmission of COVID.
Great question. So first off, yes, there is Get It and Go meals every day free for all of our students at schools. Everybody should be aware that next Thursday and Friday are parent-teacher conferences for most of our schools, not the schools in Rasdolna, Vosnesenka, or Kaselo. But there won't be lunches next Thursday or Friday during parent-teacher conferences. But yes, lunches are happening. We did extend 100% remote learning through next week with the case counts, and we'll be evaluating, you know, every day we're looking at the case counts. But for the Southern Peninsula, we did extend 100% remote learning through next week. And then as far as cases that are positive within schools, we don't have what we call like an outbreak or spread in a school where there's two or more cases and transmission is happening in the school, but there's such wide community spread that the positive cases are affecting people who either work in the school or are a student in the school. So they're being identified as a positive, or a close contact, so lots of people in quarantine. And it's very significant in the Central Peninsula.
Is that true for the Central Peninsula as well? You're not tracking any, like, in-school transmission. It's community transmission.
It's all community transmission right now. And I asked Nurse Iris that question yesterday, and it's, to be honest, there's a lot. Like, every hour we get another phone call of somebody who's either identified as a close contact and needs to quarantine, or has been identified as a positive through either they're completely asymptomatic with medical tests that they received, or they were somebody who was exposed to somebody. So we don't have an outbreak in a school. And part of that is helping because we're doing the 100% remote learning.
And how are things, what's the status with your staff? Are the staff for the most part healthy? Do you have a lot of teachers out?
Sorry, my dog is barking.
That's all right. Dogs are allowed on this show.
I'm remote working this week because of the high levels. We took one person out of district office just in case there's exposure there. So I'm at home this week. I think this is taking, to be honest, I think it's taking a toll on staff. And this is hard, and we're going into colder months and dark. We're going to really need to come together as communities for our parents who are taking care of their children at 100% remote learning, for our staff who might have their own children as well and they're teaching remotely, and for everybody that is still coming to school. I think we're in a different phase of this, not official language, but what I'm seeing is happening in our schools that we hadn't had happening prior to several weeks ago, is that people are realizing this is real and it's affecting themselves or a family member or a friend or a coworker or a child in their class. And we're seeing the real impacts of COVID right now. So I think everything we can do to be caring for each other and doing everything we can to slow this spread down is really important. I am hearing anecdotally, it's not factual, that sometimes people want to keep schools open so they're not getting tested. And we just really want to encourage, if you have symptoms, please go get tested. It's going to help keep everyone safe.
Right. It's the difference between schools being closed for a few weeks to schools being closed for a year.
It's maybe not a year, but I mean, we've got a lot going on in schools, and we're balancing safety and education right now in uncharted waters with this pandemic.
Thank you, Peggy. Is there anything else of new information that you feel like needs to get out to people? Because I've got one more question to pass out to Dorotha, but I want to make sure that I cover what's on your agenda for today.
Those are the main things, and we're going to work to have sports happening again, but everybody's going to be needing to wear masks, and that's coming from OSHA. So that's statewide, but we know the importance of just physical activity for our youth, and so we're working on getting that together and working in our schools as best we can in low, medium risk. I know you're in high risk, but if we can do anything, even conditioning, we're working to make that happen.
Thanks, Peggy Erkenef.
Thank you.
From the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District. Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital, a caller called in, left a question about a saliva COVID test, asking if there is one currently available. They heard an announcement at Safeway about it. Do you have any information on that?
I do know that the test itself does exist, and it's, I believe, from a variety of manufacturers by this point. It has been around for several months. It's actually the test that the NBA ran their entire program on this spring. Is it available in town? I do not know that answer. I'm sorry. I know it's available online. The state of Alaska has a page on their website. I will find it and send it to KPBI to link with an upcoming maybe post. The state has a page that links to kind of reputable FDA-approved home tests. And the saliva one, I believe, is in that list, but I do not know if they're available in home or not.
And then my last question for you came in through my email, and that is, let me find it. Oh, and that is, well, I'm having trouble finding it now. But let me check in with you. Is there status good for PPE and space at the hospital right now?
We're pretty good on PPE and pretty good on space as far as like it's a normal October. We're busy. I mean, we have many hospitalized patients. The emergency department's busy, so it's normal as far as fall goes. So that's good, and supplies are pretty good. The supply difference is that the state will not be providing, let me rephrase that, the federal government will not be providing the same level of testing supplies that they have been. So we have been informed that starting the new year in January, that there will be a very different supply availability as far as testing supplies. So the state is working on that and trying to figure out, A, do some stockpiling, but B, trying to figure out what the go forward plan will be in January. But the goal is certainly that the shift will be more towards vaccine by January as well.
Oh, and Kathleen, that was, if I might go ahead. Just quick, go ahead, it's time to wrap up.
I want to quickly finish the criteria list. So for testing, anybody with COVID symptoms or COVID-like symptoms, anybody with known close contact to a confirmed positive in the 5 to 14 day after exposure range, anybody with a provider order, recent out-of-state travel per state mandate, residents with tickets to travel to areas requiring testing to arrive, assuming that state honors our testing type, as required for pre-procedure screening, and critical infrastructure if required by employer, and then any groups based on state mandates. So the list is on our website. I'll have it posted at the testing site, and we appreciate everybody's understanding and cooperation.
Thanks to Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital, also Peggy Erkineff from Kenai Peninsula Borough School District, and Jenny Carroll from the City of Homer. Do you have anything left on your list for today?
Yes, I just have one thing. I wanted to respond to Dorotha and Peggy, Dorotha mentioning that it's not surprising that we're seeing a rise in case numbers as we head into winter and people spend time indoors. And Peggy saying that, you know, honestly, it is taking a toll on teachers. And I think the length and duration of this public health emergency takes a toll on a lot of people. And I hear people saying, well, what can I really do? We've been doing a lot. And I want to thank people for doing a lot. What people can do, look forward to going ahead, is that the main thing that we'd like you to do is keep your bubble small and tight right now, so that contact tracing can keep up. We can, when people are waiting on test results or have been waiting to get a test if they've been a close contact, please do that quarantine and not participate in large group gatherings. And when we say large group, 10 people is a large gathering these days. And so just that if we can start flattening the curve, it gives that us a little more space to feel like our lives are again coming back into normal. And I just want to encourage people that be as creative as possible about staying connected with your friends and family in a safe manner. It's really important. And to remember that at this time when we're just all working really hard to keep these numbers down, how important the power of kindness is. It's more important than ever to be kind in our community, to stay well, and we really need it now and going into the winter months. So I just would like to leave everyone with that thought.
Thank you, Jenny Carroll from City of Homer. And this has been your regular Thursday COVID-19 brief. I'm Kathleen Gustafson. The time is 9:35 a.m. I'll be back shortly with some weather. And coming up at 10 a.m., Claudia Haynes is here for Radio Storytime from the Homer Public Library.